The following program is a production of Beach Booster Radio.
Welcome, race fans. Here's your local racing authority, Sam Chapman, with this week's Sound of Speed on Beach Booster Radio.
Welcome, race fans, and this is the Sound of Speed on Beach Booster Radio, and I'm your host, Sam. Here to recap a busy weekend of racing with MotoGP in Mugello, Italy. The field was set for the 2016 Indianapolis 500, and the NASCAR Camping World Trucks and Sprint Cup Series were in Charlotte for two great nights of racing. We'll get things rolling with MotoGP in Mugello, Italy for the Italian Grand Prix. Valentino Rossi would secure the pole in Q2 but have a catastrophic engine failure, forcing him to retire early in front of his home crowd. This would set up an epic duel between Yamaha riders Jorge Lorenzo and Repsol Honda rider Marc Marquez, with both of those riders trading the lead multiple times in the final lap, with Jorge Lorenzo barely edging out Marquez by 19/1000th of a second. Behind those two, Andrea Iannone would bring his Ducati home in third to take the final podium step. The field was set for the running of the 100th Indianapolis 500, and I'm proud to say Oakville native James Hinchcliffe will be leading the field down to the drop of the green flag to kick off this historic event after he earned himself a spot in the Fast 9 and following it up with a 4-lap average that took the pole. A year ago, Hinchcliffe's season was abruptly ended as he hit the wall in Indianapolis, sending pieces of the suspension through his leg. And if it wasn't for the quick work of the Hamaltro safety team, Hinchtown could have lost his life. Congratulations, James Hinchcliffe, and everyone at Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports. Other notables in the field include Ryan Hunter-Reay lining up third, Will Power starting in sixth, Simon Pagenaud in eighth, Scott Dixon is back in 13th, last year's defending race winner Juan Pablo Montoya qualifies back in 17th, and another Canadian, Alex Tagliani, rounds out the field in 33rd. NASCAR Camping World Trucks would be in Charlotte for the North Carolina Education Lottery 200. It looked like it was going to be another installment of the Kyle Busch show before he would suffer a parts failure that cost him the handling of his truck. This would hand the lead to Matt Crafton in the 88 Menards Toyota Tundra. Menard would be forced to pit for fuel with less than 12 laps left Saturday afternoon. Daniel Suarez and Johnny Sauter would attempt to stretch their fuel, but they wouldn't have enough in the tanks, handing the lead back to Matt Crafton as he cruised to the victory over Kyle Busch. This would be the first time Crafton has won two Camping World Truck Series races in a row. Here's what Crafton had to say following his win.
This thing was unbelievable from the time we dropped the green. I mean, we just made air pressure adjustments. At least that's what I was told. We just made air pressure adjustments. Pretty much after the first lap, I knew that they were going to be in trouble. We had something to contend for a win. And we went through 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I'm like, whew, this thing feels really good unless it really, really falls off or something dramatic happens. I felt that we could battle for a win for sure.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series would be in Charlotte for the Sprint Showdown and the NASCAR Sprint All-Star Race, where NASCAR's best of the best battled it out under the lights in Charlotte for $1 million. Racing their way into the Sprint All-Star Race from the Sprint Showdown would be Trevor Bayne, Greg Biffle, and Kyle Larson after he and Chase Elliott would beat and bang to the checkered flag to end the final segment of the showdown, with Larson barely edging out the 24. Luckily, Chase Elliott would be voted in by the fans alongside Danica Patrick. Rain in the area would delay the action for a little bit, but NASCAR had the Air Titans at the ready and had the track dried quickly. Segment 1 would see one yellow flag on lap 47 when Jamie McMurray would go for a spin in turn 4, bringing out the yellow flag late in the segment. Race leader Matt Kenseth would find himself a lap down after he had failed to make his mandatory green flag pit stop before the yellow came out. Since no procedure was put in place if something like this were to occur, Kenseth was stuck a lap down to start segment 2 with a group of cars that hadn't gotten their lap back after the cycle of green flag pit stops didn't complete. Segment 2, drivers were forced to pit before lap 25 for a mandatory green flag two-tire pit stop. On the opening lap, Chase Elliott would attempt to dive into pit road to get his mandatory stop completed early. As he was checking up to hit pit road, drivers wouldn't see him waving to traffic, and Greg Biffle would drive into the back of Chase Elliott, destroying the left rear of the 24 car and right front of Biffle's Fusion. Matt Kenseth and Tony Stewart would collect each other while trying to avoid this mess. Tony Stewart would slam the outside wall before sliding across the grass and collecting Casey Kane to end his final All-Star race prematurely. This would be the final incident before the third and final segment. Prior to the segment, the number 11 was randomly drawn, and from the leader to the 11th place car, everyone was forced to hit pit road, putting Jimmy Johnson in 12th at the front of the pack for the final 13-lap segment. Johnson, on old tires, would lead the field down to the drop of the green flag to kick off the final segment. The 48 would end up being swallowed up by the pack as they went four wide, two rows deep for the race lead and possibly $1 million on the back straightaway. Sprint Showdown winner Kyle Larson would end up getting through the pack and begin to separate from the field with the race lead as laps began to wind down. Joey Logano, who was one of the drivers forced to pit road, would start to track down Larson in the closing laps. With just three laps to go, he would pull alongside the 42. Larson would dive into turn one hard, trying to protect his race lead, but he would get loose and smack the outside wall, destroying the right side of his Target Chevrolet, ending his night just a few laps short of the finish. Joey Logano would cruise unchallenged to his very first NASCAR Sprint All-Star Race win and $1 million. Brad Keselowski would come home in second, Dale Earnhardt Jr. in third, Carl Edwards and Kurt Busch would round out the top five in the Sprint All-Star Race. Joey Logano went home with $1 million in his pocket Saturday night, most of which he said is going to charity. Here's what Joey Logano had to say post-race.
Overall, I felt like our car was competitive. We started the race and was able to move forward. We got lucky and not lucky at the same time. That caution came out. We lost three or four spots, but we didn't get caught by not pitting when that caution came out and having to pit under green and all that stuff. So, I thought our car was fast the whole time. We just didn't really show the speed in our car until the end. And it was definitely a long-run car as well, but Todd made some good adjustments to help it fire off a little bit there at the end and be able to have a good restart finally. I had a few bad ones. To have one good one there towards the end helped, and be able to race Larson was a lot of fun. I knew what I was up against after watching the showdown. I knew we were going to race really hard. It's $4 million, and was able to, around lap six, move up the racetrack and be able to find some speed. Obviously, Kyle saw that. He moved up, and then I knew I was going to have to make the bottom work somehow. And once I had position on him going into the corner, I had to make sure I kept him on the quarter panel and not to the door. And so I knew he was going to drive in to try to, suck me around from the outside. And I knew I had to drive in to make sure he didn't do that. And just good, hard racing there at the end is a lot of fun. He's a heck of a racer. He's going to win a lot of races, that's for sure. And it's fun to race against. It's fun to see the youth in the sport. For me, starting 8 years ago now, to see guys that are close to my age now and I get to race them for wins is a lot of fun.
Points didn't change following the All-Star race, as it is an exhibition race. Kevin Harvick leads brothers Kurt and Kyle Busch. Carl Edwards and Jimmy Johnson round out the top five in points as we gear up for the longest race of the year. Brad Keselowski made it a Penske Racing 1-2 finish, which is the first time in the event a team has ever done so. Here's what Keselowski had to say post-race.
I guess a decent night, but not the great night we wanted with the Miller Lite Ford. Ending up second, really happy for my teammate Joey Logano. He kind of did exactly what you would expect out of an all-star race format and made a pretty incredible pass to win a race. So happy for Team Penske as a whole, but of course wish it was me and Victor Lane.
This weekend is one of the best in motorsports all year long. This Sunday, join me as I get you set up for the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500 and the Coca-Cola 600, the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series longest race of the year. I'll get you set up with everything you need to know before the green flag flies in Indianapolis. If you happen to be an early riser, be sure to tune into the Monaco Grand Prix as Formula One drivers take on the tight streets and corners of the legendary circuit. Until then, you can head on over to the Sound of Speed's Facebook and Twitter pages to keep in touch and up to speed of all sorts of motorsports news throughout the week. Before I go, I'd like to thank everyone at Beach Booster Radio. Without them, the Sound of Speed wouldn't be possible. Head on over to beachboosterradio.ca to listen to some great music, shows, and keep in touch with everything with Sega Beach. Hit the podcast tab at the top of the page, and you can find the latest edition of the Sound of Speed and all the other great shows Beach Booster Radio has to offer. Be sure to check out the blog, where you can find the digital version of the Beach Booster publication, which is always great to read. You can also download the Beach Booster Radio app from the Google Play and Apple App Store for free, and take Beach Booster Radio with you everywhere you go. That's about it for today. Don't forget to join me Sunday to get set up for 1,100 miles of great racing with the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500 and the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Coca-Cola 600. Until then, thanks for listening and have a great night, race fans.
The preceding program is a production of Beach Booster Radio, written, recorded, and produced in Wasaga Beach, Ontario. We thank you for listening to Beach Booster Radio, Wasaga Beach's only locally owned and operated radio station. We are local. We are Wasaga Beach. We are Beach Booster.
Hi, this is Brian Smith, Mayor of the Town of Wasaga Beach, and you're listening to Beach Booster Radio.